Please turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at recommitments this morning. In the next few Sundays, we're going to, Lord willing, look at recommitments. Some of us need to make commitments. Some of us need to recommit our commitments. And when we begin a new year, many times there's a sense that we need to maybe change some things in our lives. Some of us need to lose weight. Some of us need to eat differently. Some of us need to exercise. That's the kind of recommitments we think about. And we're going to look at recommitments with relationships and with our commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I have a remote control this morning, and this remote control, you almost got to be Captain Kirk on the Starship Enterprise to know how to run this thing. I started studying these buttons. I only know a couple of them at the house, like the home button. Then I have to say, Rebecca, come and help me. What's this on the screen? Get out of that and put me on Fox News or something. But there's a play button. There's a list button. Last channel, volume. Wouldn't you like to use the volume sometimes on people? Here's a guide button. Wouldn't you like to, times in life, just hit the guide and let it tell you what to do? You know, we do have the Holy Spirit and God's Word as Christians to be our guide. How about exit? Or info. Just give me all the info. Then there's forward. You know, we were discussing July 4th a few moments ago. And if we're not careful, we'll wish our lives away. Let's automatically go to July and let's skip the cold weather and the gloomy and the rain. But we need days like today too, don't we? You guess? How about a stop button? Wow, just stop. How about a pause? How would you like to be able to use a remote control and just pause for a while? And just leave it be. Pause. Everyone on pause. There's a button here that I wish I could push sometimes in life. It's the rewind button. I think about sometimes I just cry. Things that I wish I could go back and do. But I can't do it. We can't do it. But wouldn't it be great to be able to just rewind some things and redo it? You know, when we're talking about our relationship with the Lord and our commitments with God that is so merciful and bestows grace towards us and loves us with infinite love. The good news this morning, if you don't hear nothing else, we can recommit with Him. That's good news, isn't it? Or if you've never committed with Him, you can commit with Him today. That's the good news of the gospel. And He has provided the way. A way that you and I cannot do on our own. But with His help and His strength and His grace through His cross, we can commit or recommit to Him. That's the good news. Let us pray. Lord, as we look in Your precious Word this morning and begin a new year as a church family and as individuals and as families, I just pray that You'll speak to me and through me. And Lord, speak to my church family. And Lord, I just pray that if You tarry, that this new year will be a year that we will draw closer to You in all avenues of life, that You may have glory in it all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Recommitments. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the goal. In other words, I'm being committed, or I'm recommitting this cause of my life. To be committed to the Lord and to His cause involves many areas of our life. Gnosticism, that began all the way back in the New Testament times to now, will say we're separated. There's our spiritual being and then there's our flesh. And the two, you know, you can do, since we're flesh, you can live like the devil as long as your mind and your heart is the Lord's. And that's a form of Gnosticism that was infiltrating the church. And John wrote about it and against that heresy in 1 John. But to be committed, since we're made up, we're a trichotomy being. We're body, soul, and spirit. That's how we were created. So to be committed is to be committed with our body. It's to be committed physically. And do you need to eat right, take care of the temple? Yes. Do you need to stop all the other stuff that harms our temple? Yes. Yes, we do need to stop and do the things we ought to be doing. We're also made up of soul, and that is our emotions, our thought life, and our social life. So it means to be committed socially. And, you know, be committed with our thoughts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Also, we're spiritual beings. We were created to have fellowship and a relationship with Holy God. And He has provided the way for us to do that through the cross. But it's to be committed. It's I surrender all to Him. Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever committed to Him? Or do we need to recommit in these areas of life? I mentioned this in the newsletter, this month's newsletter, and it's the same outline that's in the newsletter. And Lord willing, we're going to be looking at these areas the next few Sundays, beginning today. But I'm asking you, will you commit to these areas, or will you recommit in these areas in our lives in 2014? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? You know, when we focus on our failures, what is that? That that hinders us to moving forward. That hinders us to be able to be used as a tool in God's hands. And will you commit not to focus on your failures? And will you commit yourself to forget your failures? Learn from them, but move forward. If you fall down, get up. If you fall down, repent and get up. I think of Moses, how he overcame failures in his life. Moses was born a Hebrew, and you know the story of Moses, how Pharaoh's daughter found him in the Nile because his mother and father did not want him to be destroyed, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house, and then he murdered somebody. And what did Moses do? He ran. He could not deliver his people on his own. He could not do it as a son of Pharaoh, but God could do it through him as a son of God, as a child of God. But he failed and he ran into the wilderness and tended sheep, and he couldn't talk. He even said, God, who would speak? I can't even talk right. Who will speak to Pharaoh? And God had it all worked out. Even while he was leading God's people through the desert, he stumbled a few times. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And he couldn't enter in the promised land because of it. Because that rock represented the rock of Christ. But did he focus on his failures? No. He would not have been the leader that he was if he had focused on his failures. If he was there at the burning bush and said, God, I failed. I did this and I did that and I can't be used of you. No, he surrendered and committed to what God had for his life. So will you commit yourself to forget your failures? 1 John 1:9, write it down, memorize it. It's one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible also says that God can throw our sin as far as east is from the west. He also, as pertaining to our sin, here's another example. It's like it's buried in the very bottom of the ocean, the deepest part of it, never to be remembered anymore. So if you have failed, get back up. Start serving the Lord. Will you commit to that? Will you commit yourself to give up your grudges? Oh, we like to hang on to our grudges, don't we? Sometimes that'll give motivation to some is a grudge. That's the wrong motivation. Our motivation should come from God's Word and being led by the Holy Spirit, not a grudge. Not bitterness that has overtaken our lives. But we commit to give up the grudges. Think of Joseph. Now Joseph is someone that could have held a grudge, couldn't he? Sold into slavery by his own brothers. Then accused of something as a slave that he did not do. He was a very honorable man. Young man. Then thrown into prison as a slave. But did he hold on to those grudges? No, he kept loving the Lord and serving the Lord even through all of this that he had went through. And then he became the prime minister of Egypt. At that time, he could have had his brothers killed, but he didn't. You know what he even said to his brothers? you meant it evil to me, but God meant it for good. He didn't hold on to the grudges. And God could use Joseph to deliver God's people and to keep them safe through the famine of that time. You see, if you're holding on to a grudge or grudges, you're keeping God from really using you the way He wants to. It's not God's plan for your life to live by grudge or to hold on to bitterness. That's not the abundant life God has for you. Let it go. And when you let it go, you know who it frees? It'll free you. So will you commit to give up on your grudges? Will you commit yourself to restore your relationships? We all have relationships that needs to be restored. And will you commit to that? Will you commit yourself to restore your relationship with a brother or sister? Will you recommit yourself to restore the relationship with God through Christ? You see, if that relationship between you and the Lord, if there's something there, it's not because He's moved. He's the same yesterday, today. He'll be the same tomorrow, loving you. It's you that has moved away. It's you that has hampered the fellowship and the fellowship. That sweet koinonia, that fellowship that we can have with Christ Jesus. But will you commit to restore relationships? I think of the Apostle Peter. Lord, I'll never deny you, he said. And he denied the Lord three times. Three times. But Jesus had already told him, Satan has desired to have you and to shift you like wheat, but when you are restored, take care of the brethren. And he was the early church leader, the Apostle Peter, because his relationship with the Lord was restored. You know, many times when that relationship is restored, you know what also happens? Other relationships become restored. So will you commit yourself to restore your relationships? Will you commit to turning your back on your transgressions? Will you commit to repent of sin in your life? And repent means to turn from it. The text says this, Philippians chapter 3, that, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he is not a man without sin. He's not perfect. But what is he doing here? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards. I'm not backing up, you see. When you think of the word transgression or the word sin, you know what it literally means? It means crossing the line. Crossing the boundary that God has put in place. It's football season winding down. Saints won last night. That was the first football game that I've watched all year. I watched it last night. And I get bits and pieces because on Sundays while y'all are watching that, I'm studying. But I got to watch that, and it's football season. And, you know, I loved football in high school. I got hurt playing, but if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again. That's how much I liked it. But in football, as you know, Ladies, bear with me. This is a man illustration. Can't help it. In football, you're pressing towards that goal, and there are markers, yard lines. And you gotta go 10 yards for a first down, and it's a yardage, teamwork game. Of course, the other team's trying to keep you from crossing that. And folks, in our Christian walk, there's an enemy, the devil, and his folks that's trying to keep us from pressing towards the goal. When you think of the word transgression and sin, it literally means crossing the line. That's what it means. But we're pressing forward. So when you think of the word sin and transgression, crossing the boundary, crossing the line, I think it's now going like this, away from God. Instead of crossing that yard mark going forward, you done got sacked. Or you didn't run the right play where the hole's open for you to run, but you decided to run your sweep all by yourself. And what happened? 11 guys tackled you. That's what happened. So will you commit not to go like this from your relationship with Christ and sinning and crossing that boundary, but will you move forward like the Apostle Paul wrote, I press towards that goal. And that goal, in context of Philippians chapter 3, is to be more like Christ. Not to be more like Edgar Evans, not to be more like Brother Roland or Brother Robert or anybody, but to be more like Christ in his walk. That's the goal. So will you commit to that? Or will you recommit to turning your back on your transgressions? You see, we're in this moving forward, we're sanctified. Amen? We're justified, but there's also progressive sanctification. Yes, we're saved by grace. And I'm justified. I'm set right in the eyes of a holy God, but I'm also progressing towards that mark, that goal. Don't go back. Keep moving forward in your progressive sanctification, becoming more like Christ Jesus, to be conformed into his image. Will you commit to that this new year? We're fixing to have an invitation. And if you're visiting, this invitation is we're inviting you to respond to the message this morning about making a commitment. This commitment to Christ, it involves, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, but this commitment is being committed to his church. It's following him in believers' baptism. It's living for him. That's what it involves. Being in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're asking you to come and make this commitment. I'll be here to help you in any way. To receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Church family, this invitation is also for you. You know why America's like she is? Because God's people quit praying. That's why. We quit praying. The altars are no longer filled in America. I'm not asking you to come forward for my ego or anything like that. But that's why America is the way she is now. You hear me? We quit praying. Will you recommit, church family? We're going to pray and then we'll have this invitation. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your precious word. And God, I stand before these people as one that needs to recommit also. So God, with your help, I recommit. And Lord, I pray for those who do not know you personally. I pray, Lord, that they will give their life, body, soul, and spirit to you. To be their leader, their master, their Lord of their life. Lord, we give you praise even now. Help us to attend to eternity at this time. In Jesus' name, the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.